All right, this is the meeting. This is the November 17th meeting of the National Finance Committee of Pacifica National Board. I'm the chair, Jamie Ross, and let's see, the first order, I'm calling the meeting to order, and the first order of business will be for our secretary, R. Paul Martin, to call the roll.
Okay. Grace Aaron?
Here.
Brian Edwards-Tiekert?
Here.
Sherry Gendelman? Campbell Johnson?
Here.
Lizette King?
Yes.
Alberto Luera? Oh, did we lose Alberto? Okay.
Oh, man.
R. Paul Martin? Here. Summer Reese? Jamie Ross?
Here.
LaVarne Williams?
Present.
Susan Young?
Here.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We have a quorum.
Okay, thank you very much, R. Paul. Okay, the next order of business. Well, first I should say, tonight's a special call. We're welcoming our, I should say, our executive director elect is on the phone call with us. That's Arlene Engelhardt, and the committee would like to extend our welcome to Arlene.
Thank you.
So thank you, Arlene, for coming onto the call. See how life really is here. And then the second order of business would be to approve an agenda. I sent out a draft agenda earlier. Let's see, I'll just read through it quickly. Item number one is WBAI budget. We have responses from LaVarne to our queries from last time, so we should review those. We have there's some other budget issues, specifically when will the PFW budget be here and anything else. Then item number three, these are smaller items, year-end report by NFC was proposed by a member. Four, legal costs from PNB members was proposed by a member. Five, Heath account payments. And six, response to information requests to management. So those are the items I have.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
In light of the fact that LaVarne's going to have to go off the call, could we put the response to information request to management up higher on the agenda so she can give us an update on that?
Okay, why don't we make that number three after other budget issues?
This is Sherry. Sorry, my internet was down.
Welcome, Sherry.
Thanks.
Sherry, just to let you know, we have Arlene on the call.
Oh, welcome, Arlene.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Sherry is another director. And okay, so that's a change. So are there any other additions or changes to the agenda? Okay, hearing none.
Jamie?
Yes.
Yes, this is Campbell. The only thing that I would suggest that I sent you recently an email that I had forwarded to our staff here at WPFW, and I didn't know if you would like to, well, certainly share that with the committee, but I don't know if it's, you know, up for a discussion item this evening.
Okay, well, we could put it number seven if you think it's an item. And
okay.
If you think it's a closed session item, we could put on the closed session. But I'll put it as number seven for the time being.
Okay, thank you.
Sure, no problem. Okay, are there any other suggestions or changes? Okay, is there any objection to this agenda? Okay, hearing none, this agenda is adopted, and we can start. So the first order of business, folks, is going to be the WBAI budget. And just to bring everybody up to speed, we reviewed this budget last week.
This is Summer.
Hi, Summer. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And we reviewed this budget last week, and we sent our queries to LaVarne, and she has responded. So we should probably review them and see if we have any other questions. And LaVarne also sent us a revised budget, which I sent along. Well, she forwarded it to the committee. I also forwarded it to you this afternoon. So why don't I pull up this new budget and pull up these responses, and we can go from there. Blah, blah, blah.
Can I ask a question? How do you mute? I'm on the office phone here. How do you mute on this phone?
Muting is #1.
Okay, thanks.
And unmuting is also #1.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay, so let's see. Let's move right along to these queries. Okay.
It's untied.
Thank you.
Okay, so everybody has received this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I sent it out this afternoon. Okay, so let's see, and you have the new budget. Okay, so just walking through our queries, there was a formula problem which has been fixed. Okay, next query. Row 78, 79, are direct mail and mail holders placeholders? Blah, blah, use historically best use historically based data. And the response was, it's hard to do this because the information is not forthcoming. Any information would be welcome. We tried to be conservative. And I would agree with that because the total amounts for direct mail and mail renewers do not seem large. So.
Can I just add to that? Due to the layoffs last November, a lot of the basic tasks for database manager and premiums manager were not well, for a while, I guess you didn't have anyone until January, and they brought Yvonne back. But before then, the other tasks, like the renewals and stuff, were not really communicated to Yvonne, who was doing a lot of the tasks. So, you know, it just wasn't taken care of. So that's why we're actually we're going to do training on MEMPSes, but we had a MEMPSes person scheduled, but basically we canceled that due to the fact that we need to basically get our department more in line in terms of assigning direct responsibilities among the staff that we have before we go to the very expensive training from MEMPSes, and in the meantime, we'll just try to get by with the training from people within Pacifica.
Okay. Thank you, LaVon. I'm still going to go over to the revenue sheet and make sure see what number we're talking about here. So direct mail income for the year is going to be 13,000, and mail renewals is 13,000. I mean, those are not very big numbers in our world.
No.
So we can probably move on. Okay. So then the next questions, queries we had were on the assumptions sheet with regard to the listener support line, the rest of the listener support line. The main part of the listener support line is the drive goals. Oh, you know, what I should do, I'm sorry, Arlene, I should forward you a copy of this budget so you can see what we're talking about.
Okay, I'm not at a computer right now, but I would appreciate it if you would do it so I could go through it afterwards.
Sure. I'm sure it must be confusing to hear. Let's see here, Arlene, and there it is. Okay.
For Arlene, it's confusing to, this was a new template, so it was confusing to everyone.
Okay.
Okay, so then, I lost my sheet here. The next question is going to be on the drive goals appear to be reasonable and prudent. The drive goals that you guys have outlined for this year certainly seem to be in line with what you've achieved over the past few months, so those seem reasonable. One issue we had with you've budgeted 76% fulfillment rate, which BAI has achieved in the past. However, starting this year, seems like in January or so, the fulfillment, or perhaps even last fall, fulfillment for drives seems to have underperformed. So can you tell us anything to give us confidence that we will be achieving the 76% fulfillment?
Well, I think kind of like the answer before is the same thing. After the layoffs in November, basically the responsibilities for can I get with you in just a second? This is Bertolt. can you just go to something else quickly while I see if he's going to be able to come over? Just a minute.
Okay. Something else quickly. Let's see, what should we do that's quick?
Sleep.
Right.
Jamie?
Okay, so on assumptions.
So kind of like the answer is that. So there was a layoff done in November here at DAI, and they laid off the premiums person. They laid off the database manager. So they had no one there, and they brought Yvonne back on, who was the farmer finance assistant, to do premiums. So the tasks that needed to have been done, Yvonne, they were not, the duties were not clearly outlined at any point with the staff that was left. In fact, we are doing that as right now in terms of looking at those things, those responsibilities and duties among the staff that we have there. And I think that when we came out and did the assessment in April, you know, we talked to those things about those things at the time. So due to that big layoff where the database manager and premiums person was laid off, that's why a lot of the fulfillment went down, and it also went down because premiums were not shipped out at all. Like, there were labels that were printed, I think, or that were printed in August. None of that stuff was shipped, although the labels were printed, and one would think they were. So due to the fact that there was a layoff, premiums were not shipped, and that just went, and then it creates a vicious cycle. If premiums are not shipped, people pay by credit card, the next thing, so in the next cycle, in terms of if it's not paid by credit card, if it's a non-credit card, the fulfillment rate goes down. So we've done, since we've been started having the successful drives in May, we have made the efforts to bring that back up. And I think Bertil has in there about how we've worked basically with the credit card fulfillment. That was down. So we've been able to work that because one of the tasks that you have to do is there's a declines list that's generated after you do your credit card, and that was not being worked. So we worked that, and we did it during our little two-day drive. And like Bertil said, it was up to, I don't have the report here in front of me, but it was up to about 99%. So we are working, number one, to make sure that the credit card fulfillment is 99.5%, and that we are having, we are working the non-credit card fulfillment by invoices have been sent out. The first invoices have been sent out for the last drive. So we have to put a schedule, a monthly invoice on the drive. And also in terms of we will start working the lapse memberships and all of those in order to bring this up. And so we're really confident that the things that we've put in place will bring it up again.
Okay, thank you, LaVon. Did I hear you say that you've already sent out the invoices for the recent drive?
Yes, I got mine, but they didn't ship. They were just how smart and frugal they are. They just left my invoice in my box here rather than stamping and mailing it.
Okay, and can you tell me, I'm curious what happened, as far as you know, with the drives that had, because, you know, I, from my point of view, what the committee needs to do is be confident that, you know, we are going to, whatever problems existed have been resolved, which I'm willing to do, but we need to understand what they were and what went wrong and what's been fixed. So my question is, for the previous drives, like, say, the May drive, or do you know, were the invoices sent out promptly, or were they not?
No, they were not. They were not sent out. The invoices were not sent out promptly. The follow-up invoices were not sent out. You have to send out invoices like everything on a monthly basis. And they were not sent out promptly. And then some of the other issues, like I said, there are things that, as everyone know, that you must do in order to stay in touch with your listener base. And those things are not done. Like your listener base, their subscription, you have them expiring every month. So you have to actually work that lapsed listener by sending out letters. And that was not done. And we have ComNet working with us to do that, too.
Right, I understand. We'll get into that in a little bit. I just wanted to talk about the fulfillment of drives.
Yeah, and Right. So those. So it's
so,
the.
So that's one change that you've made from May. Is in May the invoices were not sent out promptly, and in the
exactly.
recent five they have been.
Right, and also in terms of inputting pledge cards, like in May, those you know the requirement now. Is that, you know, play, and they worked in this fast drive. They were all inputs. The drive ended that Sunday. I was been assured that they were all put in by that Monday. That's where we got the report where we had the budget we had was 825. We did 841 plus the online pledges, which I won't have that final number.
Okay, that's cool. The pledge goals seem to be fine. It's the fulfillment. And then the other aspect of fulfillment, do you understand what led to the low credit card fulfillment, you know, from April, May, and like,
yes,
like
that was, that, again, there, when you actually input your credit cards and you put them into Mensa's, and then we process them, and also in Global Payments, and what you get is you get in from the general, you get a list that's called a declines list. That means
uh-huh.
that the credit card was declined for some reason. And so what you and then you also you get a list of expiration dates. So what you have to do is you have to work that list every day. So like if you get a credit card pledge and for some reason someone in the phone room or they put in the wrong number or something, or sometime you know you pledge and maybe a person used the wrong credit card, or in other instances they may want installment payments rather than the total amount, so it might exceed the credit card limit. So what you have to do every day is you have to call that individual and explain that for some reason it was not accepted, and then you can read back the number, or they can tell you the number, read back the number, and see if you have the correct credit card. And then if not, when we did it, like for that little two-day drive, we actually, like, I got a declines list, and it was probably, I don't know, about $1,500. I was actually able to recover even more than that, because when you talk to the people, they will, like, if there's anything in the past, they will actually, you know, pay that too. So what you have to do is to work the declines list. And then the thing that is the total mystery to me, not mystery, but why we didn't have it to work it, is that you have this list called expiration date. So we had, like, in instances where a person would put in an expiration date that was before the date that they actually did the pledge. So the phone room person is putting in the incorrect date. So, you know, those things are easy enough. You just call up the subscriber, and they want to hear from you because, you know, they've made this pledge, and they hear nothing because the credit card is you know, the expiration date was put in wrong. So they'll give you the correct expiration date.
Okay,
and
so just if I could jump in here. So are you saying in the drives with the poor fulfillment, these follow-up calls were not made?
They were not made. I mean, until we really started working this, because when I asked about it initially, I was just told that, you know, eventually after you start billing, the percentage will come up. But the thing is that if a person makes a credit card pledge, the person is ready for you to take their money now.
I understand.
Okay. So that's,
I got that part. I'm just trying to figure out what went wrong and how you're going to fix it.
Well, we're working. We're aware that there's a declines list. There's an expiration date list. So we are working those.
This is Carmen.
You have the work list.
Is this with the? So do you have the staff at the station to make these?
Enter an access code, then press pound
that's
to cancel.
I do some. Bertos does it. Mr. Martin, R. Paul, has come in and really helped us because the listeners know R. Paul's voice, so, you know, and plus he knows how to talk to them. We've had other volunteers, board members. Carolyn Burton has come in and worked the list and did really well. And she did some on Saturday.
Can you tell me how much? I guess my concern is, I understand that the follow-up calls are important, and I'm glad that you guys are doing it, so that's very good. My concern is, do you have the staffing needed to make all the follow-up calls that need to happen after, like, a big drive, like we have
$600,000
in credit card pledges and maybe, you know, $50,000 in declines or $70,000 in declines?
We're getting the volunteers, because also, let me just explain, is that You need a certain level of volunteer to do that.
Right, I understand. So do you feel confident that that your volunteer volunteers can handle this?
Yes, as long as the volunteers, the programmers are willing to do that and can talk to their other fellow programmers, Mr. Martin, and we have also to do that. But yeah, we have another person working in premiums who can also do that. We have people who could do it who are doing it basically volunteers, including myself and Bertil, who spends a whole lot more time than what we're paying him for.
I understand. Well, that's good to hear. I guess what I'd be interested to see is the improvement in we'll definitely want to see the credit card fulfillment on the upcoming drives. I mean, I'm very pleased that you guys have ID'd the problem and are starting to.
Perfect, Summer. Can I be on the staff?
Deal with it. Okay, go ahead, Summer.
I'm glad you're dealing with it too, and I'm not even making this suggestion to place extra burden on anyone because I know we're digging ourselves out of deep, deep pits. But if for the future, looking forward, we really need to consider computerizing these phone rooms. I mean, this is archaic.
Yes.
There's no reason to have declines. We should have computer terminals that automatically update the members' records so that doesn't have to be done later in the membership department where they're taking all these nice slips and entering computer data. That should be done then, and we would know on the spot whether a credit card was declined because you can interface all that. And then, you know what I mean? I've heard the arguments that it's too complicated to train volunteers. Most volunteers, it's not much more complicated than anything they already know how to do, and it is. If it's as much as $50,000 or $70,000 for a big pledge drive, that's less than what it would cost to computerize a phone room. So
right.
Anyway, so I'm not. You just got here too, but I'm just saying that's really what we need to be looking at for all of them for KPFK too. I mean, we just going forward, some of these problems should not be like volunteer cleanup problems after the fact. They should be things that we could put in place that would make things run more smoothly and would increase our fulfillment level right up front, I think. So.
And if we have the level of person who can work with the we've explored this with like the little Acer
mm-hmm.
computers,
mm-hmm.
and you know if you want a level of person who is not going to put down like the expiration date is some date prior to the date that they're writing at that.
Well, of course, but I'm thinking with a computer system, it would be automatic because the credit card would be accepted or declined. Like you could do it through an interface with our own website if that were necessary. But, I mean, do you know what I mean? Like, we could process them on the spot, so if the person's inputting the information correctly, it's going to bounce back, and they're going to go, oh, I'm sorry, ma'am, your credit card didn't go through. Can we try that again, you know?
Absolutely.
You know, I know that may be, 2 years from now, but we really should continue
to work. No,
we're
working on some things with that, and Chase has actually promised to try to help us on this, too.
Cool.
Mr. Chairman?
Okay, good. Yeah, are there any other questions with regard to BAI's fulfillment or drive gold
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, I hear
Mr.
you.
Mr. Chairman.
Albert.
Okay, I just want to say that I'm on.
Okay, thank you, Alberto. Are there any other questions with regard to the fulfillment assumptions or drive goals?
What would be helpful for me is do you have data from a drive where you think you've got everything right, showing that fulfillment's on track to reach 76%?
The station did a 2-day drive in September where they did a very good job of following up on the credit card pledges and got, you know, in order to get 76% total, the station needs basically close to 100% fulfillment on credit cards. And they got that in the September drive, which was a two-day drive. And I believe, LeVarne can correct me, but I think they probably promptly sent, you know, they did the invoicing like you're supposed to. So
right.
One is confident that drive will work out okay, but what we kind of would like to see is a big drive to do that. So we'll have to hang
right.
on and see how this one works out.
I guess in terms of supporting the assumptions, what would be great would be to see the fulfillment chart from MSIS from that most recent drive to show at least that the stuff that LeBarnes laid out can work in practice and can put you on track to 76%. Because usually 2 months out from a drive, you know within a few points where the fulfillment's going to end up at.
For the September mini drive?
Yeah.
Okay, we can add that to a...
That's an automatic MSIS report, right?
Yeah. And now the station has the personnel to produce these reports. So.
Stack, please.
Get September. Okay, thank you. Okay, let's see. Next on the stack, we have Luzette.
Yeah, what was our query at the last meeting with respect to the fulfillment rate?
Basically, I said we need more detail and explanation of why we can be confident 76% fulfillment will be reached this year.
And have we got a response to that?
Yes, more or less. But the fact is that it seems part of the issue was that in the previous drives, you know, because BAI has a couple years ago made 76%. It's not an unreasonable number. But earlier this year, the drives did not make that. So Lavarne has pointed out that one of the problems was that invoices were not sent out promptly for the non-credit card pledges. And that the other problem was follow-up calls were not made to credit card pledges that, for whatever reason, didn't go through. And she's pointed out that now the invoices are being sent out promptly, and that they have that they are making calls to follow up the credit card pledges. So they're working on it, but we have not seen a drive that it's actually we've not seen a big drive that it's worked for. So in a sense, this is. You know, we'll see what happens. But it sounds like the station is working on it. And it seems reasonable to assume if, you know, the things that are happening work as they should, that we probably should make 76%.
So we are satisfied that it's something that can happen.
Well, that's for us to decide. I mean, from my own perspective, it sounds like it probably can happen. However, given that this, you know, we'll get into with the other income lines, but basically the station is projecting a large increase in income, it would be nice to have some kind of contingency of what might happen if that these income goals are not reached, you know, one way or the other. That would be what I would look for.
But now that the CFO is here, can we ask whether we do have that contingency in place?
Yeah, we can. I was kind of hoping to go through the other income queries and then get to that at the end.
All right, okay.
Does that sound like a reasonable plan?
Not a problem.
Okay, so there's no more questions about the whole fulfillment thing. Brian has requested a Memphis for the September drive.
Memphis fulfillment report.
Yeah, right, Memphis fulfillment report. Okay,
it's just because, you know, we can say we're doing better things around fulfillment, and that's great, but that doesn't let us quantify how much improvement we expect to get from them, right?
Exactly. No, that makes perfect sense. It's good to see some results from the changes. Okay.
What was that point?
It's good to see the results from the changes in practice. They've improved practice, which is good, and results from the improved practice are also good.
But that's like everything. But, you know, when we get to the point again, I'll make an observation.
Okay, well, why don't we move on to the next item, which is telemarketing income. Lavarne, you're still there, right?
There's a big upside for BAI because of the things that I've talked. All of this stuff is connected because membership renewals and the lapses have not been taken care of. So we have that huge monthly. We have members whose membership expires, and that's not being taken care of. You know, the new ones are not being sent out. So I think that we have a big upside on telemarketing. In fact, we basically was very conservative in terms of the opportunity on telemarketing for lapsed members. And so that's why we believe that the numbers, we should be able to achieve that. Because if we look at our assumption, let's just look at revenue.
Okay, yeah, this is on the assumption sheet.
Right.
If people go to rows 82, through 98, you'll see that BAI has a separate telemarketing income line, which is basically treated sort of like listener support, where BAI projects to bring in $276,000 from calling both lapsed donors and also people who pledged in FY 2009 but didn't fulfill their pledges.
Right. As you see, the we think the rates are reasonable, and you know we intend to do this almost all year. So the upside of this is so huge that this is a very conservative approach. We're not saying we're going to get 25% of this at any time. We're looking at in terms of lapsed donors, we're looking at 5-12% of lapsed donors. So I don't think 12% is unreasonable.
Is that based on any experience of the? Because the other stations have had some experience with this, right? Is this based on their experience?
Actually, BAI has had experience with ComNet too. I didn't know that until I talked to them. So if another station has any data that they can share in terms of the percentage that they were able to get to, maybe you can let me know.
Okay, so was the 12%, is that number
of lapsed,
for lapsed donors, you say you're going to call, for most of the month, you're going to call, that's going to call 1,800 people,
yeah,
and 12% of those are going to respond with an average $100 pledge. Is that based on information from ComNet?
It's actually 15%.
Right. Well, it was 12% of the last donor base for that month, but yeah, the success rate is 15%.
Oh, okay. So 15% of the 1,800 people are going to call. Was this based on information from ComNet?
I think that we just took a very conservative approach. We did have some information. But again, if other stations have more information on this, or better information, or their success rate, I would welcome that information. I think that's what we did. Average. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see. Are there any other questions on the telemarketing assumption?
R. Paul.
Brian. Okay. Mr. R. Paul.
Okay. First, we have R. Paul, and then Brian.
Okay. I'm doing some fast extra spreadsheet stuff here. And the 6%, looks to me to be very conservative. And I think the 51, almost 52 grand that would come out of that, I think that's very much in there. The lapsed donors, 15%, I'm looking to find my, okay, has anybody done a fast thing? Because we have 15% here, giving 225. And that one, I'm not, maybe we'll even make more than that, but I'm a little bit concerned about the 15% on the lapse.
Let me see if I can find some ComNet information that I've gotten and unexpected returns for lapsed donors. I believe that's pretty conservative. I mean, because the other way you would do that is just send out your letters. So if you just send out a letter, your membership is lapsing. So please send us. Would you like to renew your membership? So, in terms of what the percentage success rate is on that versus a call from an individual, from a person asking you to do that.
I do recall that a few years ago, BAI sent out a mailing to like 60,000 lapsed donors.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember, 20,000, 30,000? They got $50,000 out of it, something like that. This was like four years.
What do you think the numbers were?
I have it in a book. I can dig it up after the call.
Okay, and then send it to me. And then I'll, like I said, I'll try to find some stuff.
Yeah, that would be good, because, well, why don't we go on to, I'll make a comment after Brian's comment. Just to let you know, Lavarne, we're not here to give you a hard time, but we just want to, you know, part of our job is to, you know, make sure things are as realistic as possible.
Well, I think that's part of, I mean, in fact, that's the major part of my job in the end when we wrap it up. So I hear what you're saying.
Okay, so next on the stack would be Brian.
Yeah, and just to be clear, I'm really glad that you're using the telemarketers for this stuff and that you're tapping the source of revenue. The concern is the same one that generally comes up during budgeting, which is that if you're not basing this on prior experience using this technique, it's unproven revenue. And right now it's a big chunk of your budget. It's about, if you take out the associated expenses, it's about $200,000 of your bottom line. So I'm not sure how we say something is conservative or isn't conservative. We don't have a track record to compare it to. What you're counting on with these lapsed donors is 15% of the people you call giving you money at an average rate of $100. Maybe we'll do more, maybe you'll do less, but it seems like the least you could do is run a sample batch and try to see what kind of response rate you get or gather that data from other stations. And until there's some basis for the numbers, I would be more comfortable with the budget not counting on that revenue or having a contingency if it doesn't come in at that level. Because we've definitely gotten into trouble, not just at BAI, but pretty much everywhere in the network, just kind of throwing revenues into the budget, saying we think we can make it, and then spending beyond our means on that basis. So the other thing I want to flag is that where this is on the budget line, it seems to have all gone now into... on the budget tab, it seems to now all have gone into additional listener support, which is not subject to the levy.
Oh, sure it is. If you look at the formula, you'll see it's in there.
Well, I actually ran the formula, and if I include that, then you're only paying 18% central services. If I take it out, you're at 20% central services.
Let me find the line here. If we look at that, and I don't think that's correct. Let me just, if we look at on the revenue line, let's just find it here. We have October. We can keep talking. I'll find it here now. And show where it is. Total listener income. Okay, on revenue line, we have line 85, total line 83, the telephone and mail, total budget, total license budget. We add the telephone and mail. So the 321, and if you go from there, let me just click on this.
Yeah, actually, I believe that Brian. Wait, I get. Wait, how much? What sort of central services we have? 471 plus 69. What's that? That's 540. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and it should be 594.
We have. Okay, on listener support. Listener support. Okay, so look at the month of November.
That may now be a problem. It wasn't a problem before, though we thought it was, but it might now be a problem.
No, I mean, the formula we looked at, okay, for October we have 321, 393, and then we said listener support list. Okay, so you're adding both.
Well, we're just checking the results, Levarne. If you add them up and put them in ratio to the central services the budget shows you're paying, then you're paying central services at a rate of 17.7%.
Yeah, actually, I just did this. I copied the this is actually a funny point, because last week we thought there was no central services levied on the telemarketing, but then it seemed like there were. And now it seems like maybe it's changed. because when I added both listener support and additional listener support from column T, the total budget for the year, I got a total of $3,050,000, and 19.5% of that should be $594,000. However, the budgeted central service payments look like $540,000. So that probably would need to be fixed. It might be that it's not linked in, because I need to remember that the central services tab did...
Okay, so we have $471 and $69, which is $540,
right?
And then we have, assumptions revenue. So yes, the additional listening support comes from assumptions, and then the revenue comes from revenue. Okay, so let me just look at it here again.
Well, we'll flag that that one.
Check it, so we'll check it again.
Put it on our do list.
Let me just add a sheet here and put all this stuff on here. I have an extra sheet. I'll just add another one.
This is Grace. Can I be on the stack?
Yes, go ahead, Grace.
I think that to assume that absolutely no revenue would come from ComNet is not reasonable. We know from other stations and from other business that ComNet has that we can certainly put some amount of income into that income budget line, revenue budget line in this budget. I would suggest that, Brian, you find out the statistics on how successful the lapsed member drive was at KPFA. And then, Alberto, if you can please get us the data for the next meeting as to how much was generated at KPFT. And then we can also call ComNet and find out what their usual revenue is from lapsed donor drives. And we can take those three pieces of information and put them together and possibly whack off a few percent just to be extra conservative, and come out with a figure that would be rational for this budget. I think zero is irrational. I think, $1 million would be irrational, too. But I think we can come up with a tentative figure. We're not going to come up with an exact figure because we haven't done this before at WBAI, but I think we should put something in that revenue budget line. Brian and Alberto, can you get us that information by the next National Finance Committee meeting?
I can, and I'd like to be on the stack, Mr. Chairman, and I can do that, Grace.
Yeah, okay, but Grace, I would like to respond to your comment. I mean, we have a number in this budget line, which...
But Brian was saying we shouldn't have any number if unless...
Well, he also said if we're going to leave it in, we should have a contingency plan. I would probably go with... I think that's probably the better way to go because... You know, BAI is projecting a 37% increase in income. It's quite possible that's not all going to happen. So it would be good to have a plan.
Stack,
for what, what's
going to
happen.
Stack?
That's the way I would probably, you know, I think what you're saying, gathering the information, is a good thing. But in the end, it's going to be somewhat hard to predict what's going to happen with this. And,
can we gather the information anyway? Brian, can you get us that information by the next meeting?
I can. I don't know that we've used ComNet for lapsed donors. Or rather, I don't know that we've used it for collecting an unfulfilled credit card number.
You have used it for a lapsed member drive.
We have used it for lapsed members, yes.
You have.
But it was an order of magnitude smaller than what you're proposing here. I can try to get exact numbers. Our manager is planning a memorial for one of our staff members right now. But I'll see what we can do.
Okay.
Yeah, I seem to remember that each station got around $40,000 or so in income, something on that order of magnitude. Okay, next person on the stack, we have Alberto, and then we have Summer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to make a couple of points. on the issue of the telemarketing number, I think that we need to look at on the flip side. We can consider leaving the telemarketing number that was put before us in the BAI budget. And if we're a little antsy, because we have very little track record, obviously this is an opportunity that we have not only at BAI, but at the other signal areas to go out and try this approach to raise funds. As far as your contingency plan is concerned, my position on all of that, as a person who works with a KPFT operations, we should look at the expenses and make sure that on the expense side of our budget, the money that is projected from telemarketing is not critically needed to make our expenses for this fiscal year. I understand the concern, but if we are not spending that particular amount of money, and if it's not a critical amount of money that we're going to be spending so that we necessarily do not have to rely on income from telemarketing, I think we are on a safe footing, and that's my position, that if we're not too sure about the telemarketing number, we should not plan to spend that amount and have a conservative expense side on our budget for this coming year, Mr. Chairman.
Can I have a response from the CFO on that matter?
Oh, on whether
what
to show
the deficit.
Well, if you look at our bottom line, in terms of surplus deficit for the year on the budget, we have...
Where's Jamie?
We went
to the door.
Sorry, folks. I was on mute. I have called on Summer, but why don't... LaVon, why don't you go ahead?
Oh, yeah. If you look at our surplus, we have $200,000. So, telemarketing, the additional listener support, we had 276, and I was trying to find the exact number from my assumptions here. We have, let me just find it, on the cost, we have...
I think it's 91,000.
Okay, so 90, so that's 276 versus 91, so that's about 180. So therefore, in our surplus is 200. So definitely, that number is would really is what contributes mainly to our surplus. So the point that Alberto has is valid, that we are going to use ComNet. We think our assumptions are conservative on both the LAPS members, since again BAI has based on our little exercise with the elections, we knew there were about 8,000 names at least that were LAPS members. So there's a huge the problem with when you're in a position like BAI where we've had this huge loss in listeners and our members, the renewals not being done, you know, it's very bad, but also it presents a huge opportunity. That's why we use those numbers. But Alberto is exactly right that this our commitment to use ComNet this year and the cost and putting in the revenue is what really helps to produce the $200,000, almost all of the $200,000 surplus. So I think that we are going to use ComNet. There will be costs. There will be revenue generated. I think that this shows a commitment by BAI to make this happen this year.
Okay, thank you, LaVon. Next on the stack is Summer.
Hi, Jamie. Thanks. Okay, I have a couple of quick questions and a couple of quick comments on this. So, essentially, to clarify, the contractors are accounting
for surplus. And if they were all to be wiped out to zero, we still wouldn't be in a negative deficit position on the budget, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so just to, you know, so we don't spend all night on this one topic, I think
thank
that...
Thank you. I've got to go home.
No kidding. Anyway, what I think, just to be, you know, logical and apply sort of the same standards to all of the stations, is
exactly.
We had a similar issue, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, with KPFA's mm-hmm. budget, right, with the CPB funding, and we can't vote on a deficit budget, blah, 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 blah. The point is if this only accounts for the surplus, well, then let's gather the numbers Grace is talking about, make a reasonable projection based on an averaging mm-hmm. of the numbers that are available and what's a reasonable expected return. And the contingency is if it's a total and complete and abject failure, there's no surplus, but we haven't voted on a negative budget. So we could just make, a note on this and get those numbers, and I think we could move on. Anyway, that's just my
okay,
take on
thank
it.
You.
You know, if it's surplus, then we just need to note it.
Excellent.
Okay, are there any other comments on the telemarketing? Okay, the next income line. The most important queries were on the income line. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, there's also you're also projecting an increase, a large increase in major donor. Is that? It says the current year you had zero, but I think that's because they booked it differently. In the current year and the upcoming year.
It looks like it's
year,
line down. The same
well,
thing KPFA had, where they were using 5,001 instead of 5,752.
Yeah, it's the same issue, huh?
Okay, well then, but if you add the rows 6 and 7 on the budget sheet, which are major donors and then donations, the budget calls for $126,000, and the 09 actual on both of those lines is $64,000. Does that mean there's a... Or did some of that income in the current year get booked into somewhere else?
It's interesting that we're going to talk about how things have booked. We've had the business manager from KPFT to come up, and she has a whole list of things in terms of how we can do things more efficiently. And again, I hate to keep harping on this, but there was a big layoff in November at WBAI. Their premiums person and their database person both were laid off. And then a premiums person was not hired back on until January. And it wasn't the person with premiums experience. It was the finance assistant. So as we have in this in your explanation, all of this stuff was almost totally neglected in 09. And we have someone assigned to work those. And, in fact, we've had... we've had major programmers here at BAI and others commit to this project for us for 2010.
Okay, so that's the basis for it. There's a
And we have a person, Bertold he's working. He will be working as far as like I said. We have major donors who have just told us, whenever you're ready to start, put my name and my wife's name on there. We're ready to go.
Do you have a plan?
We have a tentative plan with we've worked with Janet Coleman. Who's also working this with us, Bertold. We can send it to you, Jamie. And in fact, we should get some input from you before we actually send it out to the board. But yeah, the preliminary plan is the major donor meeting at a restaurant in Manhattan, and now that we've had success in terms of fund drive and in terms of turnaround, and we would have. One of the major programmers at BAI and some of the other programmers there for the initial meeting that we have not reserved. I initially reserved it, but then we canceled, but we will reserve something soon.
Okay, thank you, LaVarne. Are there any other questions around major donors and donations? Okie dokie, hearing none.
Actually, can I ask just one quick question? It's not really on the donors, but on something LaVarne just said.
Okay.
Just on all those people that didn't get their premiums, did some sort of like apology letter go out? Or, you know, something when we repitch them to join again, are we giving any explanation for why things might have been less than perfectly executed?
That's the comment questions. That's one of the questions. And that's one of the things we have on our response to them in terms of the pitch is exactly that.
Okay. Yeah, you know, because people feel a lot better, and they'll give you a lot of love if you kind of share with them that you're having a little bit of a problem, but you're working on straightening it out. And I think frequently people will be more generous if they feel like, yeah, that's my radio station.
That's exactly, that's part of the pitch.
Okay, good, good, good.
We have it here.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, then the last question with regards to income. On row 17 of the budget, grants restricted, you have $80,000 in restricted grants income. And let's see, you guys answered that this is $50,000 from the building fund from last year and $30,000 from annuity? Okay,
yeah,
so I'm confused about this response. Is this $50,000 that you expect to get in the current fiscal? I mean, in fiscal 10? So you expected to get $50,000. The basis is that you got $50,000 last year, so we can expect $50,000 this year.
Just a second.
If the annuity thing doesn't make sense, that should be on the major donors line. That's where we put the request.
Also, if it's restricted grants, the other question is, are the expenditures from those grants reflected on the budget? I mean, if it's a building fund, should that be my question? You budgeteers out there, should that be put in our budget since we're not buying a building in this fiscal?
And what is it to cover exactly?
Well, we do have a building fund to buy a new building, which,
okay.
You know, everybody has dreams. However, there may be another fund to make improvements, which could be actually covered on cash and capital, in which case this money is rightly... it should be on the budget. But am I correct in my assumption that if the money is not going to be spent, it shouldn't be here?
What was your question?
The question about the restricted grants. Did you get the answer to what they were?
Well, I mean, is someone donating money for us to buy a building? I mean, are we getting a grant for that specifically? But, yeah, I mean, if we're not able to discharge any of it, it would seem not to make much sense to have it in this budget year. So,
yes, it contributes to a surplus, which not really an operating surplus.
Part of it is restricted for the phone system, and we're expecting them more on the building fund. But the phone system definitely came in. This year, the major part of it.
Wait, if it's already in, why is it in next year's budget?
It wasn't already in. It came in like, this is November, it came in like in October.
Okay, so it's part of this year's budget.
Yeah, so there are a couple of pieces in here. We're looking and the other was we're expecting more on the building fund. But let me look at that and I will we might have to make a little change on that. Because no, the phone system we might have gotten one small, but we flipped it October, and the rest came in.
If you can get us that information, that'd be great. And then, is the phone system payment? Sh- shown here under cash and capital?
Right.
Is it there?
What is what there?
It's the payment for the
phone
system.
Yeah, it is for the remainder, for the part of the phone system that we would actually finance, yes.